Well, today's gospel lesson is a part of a larger conversation and story sharing that Jesus is doing. These are sets of parables and stories all related to the theme of generosity and wastefulness. But what do we do with the gifts that we are given to us? And so we've seen lots of different variations on this over the last few weeks, from the shepherd who loses a sheep and the woman who loses her coin, to the story of the lost or prodigal son. And last week we had kind of a real head scratcher of a story about the prodigal or wasteful steward. And that lesson from last week was challenging in a lot of ways because it was such like a tough riddle to unpack. But in some ways, I feel like today's gospel lesson is even more challenging because of its clarity. There's no ambiguity here about what Jesus is talking about, that there are consequences for how we live our lives and that we are called to recognize the dignity and the worth of all the people that we meet in our life. So it is, in a way, about the afterlife, but in a realer sense, it's about the life that we're living right now and what we can do right now with what has been given to us. It reminds me a lot of the Charles Dickens Christmas story with the three ghosts that you might have read or gone to a play about, where it's not really about the ghosts so much. I mean, that's kind of the big spectacle of the three ghosts and these three visions. But it's about how it calls us to live into the life that we are given. And just an interesting aside, I found this interesting because I don't know that much about language, but Lazarus means God helps. And Ebenezer from the Christmas Carol means the rock of help. And they're actually from the same root word, just one is Greek and one is Hebrew. But Ebenezer and Lazarus are actually the same root of God being our source of help. And that's really what our gospel lesson today is about how God sees and cares for all of his children and calls us to see with that same vision, that same care and concern for all of his children. And this isn't to say, this will be familiar, I've talked about this in the last few weeks, this isn't to say that money itself is a bad thing. Money can be a great thing when we use it responsibly, when we use it to help our communities and help other people. It's about what we do with that. So what is the flaw, if it's not money then, what is the flaw then of this rich man that ends him into this terrible place? And it's not actually explicitly said in the text what he does or doesn't do, but when we read through the context, when we read through the clues, we can kind of see what his downfall was. So the first clue that we have is who is named in the parable. We get one name in the parable, two, we get Abraham, but we get Lazarus. Lazarus is named, and not only is he named, but the rich man knows Lazarus's name. So he knows that there was someone outside his house that needed help, but yet he did nothing. It's not like he said, oh, I didn't see him. I didn't know who's Lazarus. He knew him by name. And not only did he know him by name, but other people had placed him outside the gates for a reason. In the Roman culture at that time, the wealthy were often corrupt, but they also had a patronage system where they did have responsibility to care for the poor. So it was typical for someone who was poor to be placed outside of a rich person's house because they were supposed to offer some kind of aid. So we see this in the Old Testament sometimes with landowners who opened up their fields for gleaning. That's where they saved 10% of the crop for those who were most in need, and they let the people come through and take the last 10% of the crop, much like how we do tithing today. So people had placed this man outside of the rich man's house. They placed Lazarus outside of this house with the assumption that the rich man would help, and he didn't. So that's our second clue that something had gone wrong. The next clue that we get is that the rich man flaunts his wealth. So not only is he rich, but he wears these purple gowns at that time were the most expensive clothes that you could buy. Not only that, but he wears fine linens. And the fine linens is often what is used to describe the linens that surrounded the tabernacle. So they were something that were used for a religious purpose. They were saved for special occasions. And they weren't just worn by everyday people. This is kind of like layers upon layers of extravagant clothing that this man is wearing. And not only does he eat, but it says that he feasts. And you know that someone like that, he's not in the kitchen making his own feast. There's a bunch of other people that are making that feast for his own, not for any bodily need, but for a need of vanity. And so he's putting other people to work in an unfair way just to serve his own need to have this feasting, not just eating, but feasting. And the next clue is that even after both Lazarus and the rich man have died, he shows no sign of remorse. He never says, oh my gosh, I've lived in a way that was unjust. He never apologizes. And our text here is actually a bit unfaithful in the translation. It says that he begs. I beg you to send him to the Father's house. It's not actually begged in the Greek, it's ask. So he's not even begging, he's just asking. Like, just there's an assumption, right, that what he asks will be done. And thankfully it is not done. And along those lines, he never, even in the afterlife, recognizes Lazarus's humanity. The two times that he addresses Lazarus, it's to do something for him. It's to get him water or to talk to his brothers. And there's no acknowledgement of equality there at all. And so even after this long life, even after this suffering, there's still no acknowledgement of the human dignity, of the humanity of Lazarus. He's just a servant. He's just someone to do his bidding. He's just an errand boy, even after everything that's happened. There's no awareness. And even in sending Lazarus, asking Lazarus to be sent to his brothers, I wonder if not, it's to serve his own people, his own needs. It's not to serve, like, it's not like, oh, you know, go and end this terrible suffering that people experience. You know, work towards ending poverty and illness and all these things that keep people down and keep them oppressed. It's to help his own family. It's not to help those who are experiencing genuine need. It's to help people like him. And so we see, even though none of this is explicitly saying for what, how this man ended up where he ended up in the story, we see all these clues throughout the story that things did not go as they should have gone. Things did not go as God intended them to go. But it's not, I don't think it's a story where we should dwell on the afterlife and the suffering and this. I really think that, like the Christmas Carol, this story is meant to bring us deeper into the world that we are living now and what we can do now to help those around us. And to really call us to question, what are the things that we do that dehumanize other people? None of us are perfect at this. So what do we do that works against recognizing the dignity and value in the people that we come across? And how can we work to see people as God sees people, as beloved children of God, as people that need our care and protection, our friendship, and to work towards bringing that peace that Lazarus has at the end in Abraham's bosom, how to bring that into this world? How do we bring that kind of relief here and now to those who need it? And it's something we can do with money. This parable is about riches and how we use or don't use them. But it's also about how we spend our time. how we talk to people, how we use the resources that we're given, and how we're using the spaces that have been given to us to extend God's desire for greater equity and love between us. Beloved, God sends us people every day like Lazarus, people that have names, people that have stories. And what can we do here and now to hear those names, to hear those stories, and to work to bring in that kingdom into this world, here and now, this day, and every day to come? Amen.